Question 4. Law proposed by initiative petition. Earned sick time for employees. Do you approve of a law summarized below on which no vote was taken by the Senate or the House of Representatives on or before May 6, 2014? Summary. As required by law, summaries are written by the State Attorney General. This proposed law would entitle employees in Massachusetts to earn and use sick time according to certain conditions. Employees who work for employers having 11 or more employees could earn and use up to 40 hours of paid sick time per calendar year, while employees working for smaller employers could earn and use up to 40 hours of unpaid sick time per calendar year. An employee could use earned sick time if required to miss work in order, 1, to care for a physical or mental illness, injury, or medical condition affecting the employee or the employee's child, spouse, parent, or parent of a spouse, 2, to attend routine medical appointments of the employee or the employee's child, spouse, parent, or parent of a spouse, or 3, to address the effects of domestic violence on the employee or the employee's dependent child. Employees would earn 1 hour of sick time for every 30 hours worked and would begin accruing those hours on the date of hire or on July 1, 2015, whichever is later. Employees could begin to use earned sick time on the 90th day after hire. The proposed law would cover both private and public employers, except that employees of a particular city or town would be covered only if, as required by the state constitution, the proposed law were made applicable by local or state legislative vote or by appropriation of sufficient funds to pay for the benefit. Earned paid sick time would be compensated at the same hourly rate paid to the employee when the sick time is used. Employees could carry over up to 40 hours of unused sick time to the next calendar year, but could not use more than 40 hours in a calendar year. Employers would not have to pay employees for unused sick time at the end of their employment. If an employee missed work for a reason eligible for earned sick time, but agreed with the employer to work the same number of hours or shifts in the same or next pay period, the employee would not have to use earned sick time for the missed time, and the employer would not have to pay for that missed time. Employers would be prohibited from requiring such an employee to work additional hours to make up for missed time or to find a replacement employee. Employers could require certification of the need for sick time if an employee used sick time for more than 24 consecutively scheduled work hours. Employers could not delay the taking of or payment for earned sick time because they have not received the certification. Employees would have to make a good faith effort to notify the employer in advance if the need for earned sick time is foreseeable. Employers would be prohibited from interfering with or retaliating based on an employee's exercise of earned sick time rights, and from retaliating based on an employee's support of another employee's exercise of such rights. The proposed law would not override employers' obligations under any contract or benefit plan with more generous provisions than those in the proposed law. Employers that have their own policies providing as much paid time off, usable for the same purposes and under the same conditions as the proposed law, would not be required to provide additional paid sick time. The Attorney General would enforce the proposed law using the same enforcement procedures applicable to other state wage laws, and employees could file suits in court to enforce their earned sick time rights. The Attorney General would have to prepare a multilingual notice regarding the right to earned sick time, and employers would be required to post the notice in a conspicuous location and to provide a copy to employees. The State Executive Office of Health and Human Services, in consultation with the Attorney General, would develop a multilingual outreach program to inform the public of the availability of earned sick time. The proposed law would take effect on July 1, 2015, and states that if any of its parts were declared invalid, the other parts would stay in effect. What your vote will do. As required by law, the statements describing the effect of a yes or no vote are written jointly by the State Attorney General and the Secretary of the Commonwealth. A yes vote would entitle employees in Massachusetts to earn and use sick time according to certain conditions. A no vote would make no change in the laws regarding earned sick time. Arguments. As provided by law, the 150-word arguments are written by proponents and opponents of each question and reflect their opinions. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts does not endorse these arguments and does not certify the truth or accuracy of any statement made in these arguments. The names of the individuals and organizations who wrote each argument and any written comments by others about each argument are on file in the office of the Secretary of the Commonwealth. In favor, a yes vote will allow workers in Massachusetts to earn up to 40 hours of sick time a year to take care of their own health or a family member's health. Workers will earn 1 hour of sick time for every 30 hours worked and can use their sick time only after working for 90 days. Thousands of hard-working people in Massachusetts are forced to choose between going to work sick or losing a day's pay, or worse, their jobs. Some are even forced to send a sick child to school to save their income or job. A yes vote on question 4 will save jobs and income, allowing workers to spend more in the local economy, benefiting us all. Businesses providing sick time find that it reduces employee turnover, increases productivity, and helps their bottom line. Authored by Deborah Ann Fastino, Co-Chair, Raise Up Massachusetts, 150 Mount Vernon Street, 2nd floor, Dorchester, Massachusetts, 02125, 617-284-1260, www.raiseupma.org. Against. Protect Massachusetts small businesses. Vote no on question 4. Question 4 would make Massachusetts the first state to require small and taxpayer-funded employers to provide up to a week of mandatory paid sick time and family leave to all employees, including part-timers. The red tape and mandate would be costly to small businesses and taxpayers. When an employee at a typical office setting calls in sick, other employees usually step in to cover the workload. However, for customer service-focused employers or employers with mandatory staffing levels, this may not be an option. These employers would be required to pay twice, once to the employee on leave and a second time to the employee working the shift. It would essentially double their payroll. One size does not fit all, and small businesses and their employees depend on flexibility to increase salaries and other benefits, not costly state mandates. Authored by Retailers Association of Massachusetts, 18 Tremont Street, Suite 810, Boston, Massachusetts, 02108, 617-523-1900. Full text of question. Be it enacted by the people and by their authority. Section 1. Chapter 149 of the General Laws is hereby amended by inserting after Section 148B the following two sections. Section 148C, A. As used in this section and Section 148D, the following words, unless the context clearly requires otherwise, shall have the following meanings. Child, a biological, adopted, or foster child, a stepchild, a legal ward, or a child of a person who has assumed the responsibilities of parenthood. Earned paid sick time. The time off from work that is provided by an employer to an employee as computed under subsection D that can be used for the purposes described in subsection C and is compensated at the same hourly rate as the employee earns from the employee's employment at the time the employee uses the paid sick time. Provided, however, that this hourly rate shall not be less than the effective minimum wage under Section 1 of Chapter 151. Earned sick time. The time off from work that is provided by an employer to an employee whether paid or unpaid, as computed under subsection D, that can be used for the purposes described in subsection C. Employee, any person who performs services for an employer for wage, remuneration, or other compensation, except that employees employed by cities and towns shall only be considered employees for purposes of this law if this law is accepted by vote or by appropriation as provided in Article CXV of the Amendments to the Constitution of the Commonwealth. Employer, any individual, corporation, partnership, or other private or public entity, including any agent thereof, who engages the services of an employee for wages, remuneration, or other compensation, except the United States government shall not be considered an employer, and cities and towns shall only be considered employers for the purposes of this law if this law is accepted by vote or by appropriation as provided in Article CXV of the Amendments to the Constitution of the Commonwealth. Healthcare provider. The meaning given this term by the Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993, 29 U.S.C., Sections 2601 to 2654, inclusive, as it may be amended and regulation promulgated thereunder. Parent, a biological, adoptive, foster, or step-parent of an employee or of an employee's spouse or other person who assumed the responsibilities of parenthood when the employee or employee's spouse was a child. Spouse, the meaning given this term by the marriage laws of the Commonwealth. B. All employees who work in the Commonwealth who must be absent from work for the reason set forth in subsection C shall be entitled to earn and use not less than the hours of earned sick time provided in subsection D. C. Earned sick time shall be provided by an employer for an employee to 1. Care for the employee's child, spouse, parent, or parent of a spouse who is suffering from a physical or mental illness, injury, or medical condition that requires home care, professional medical diagnosis or care, or preventative medical care, or 2. Care for the employee's own physical or mental illness, injury, or medical condition that requires home care, professional medical diagnosis or care, or preventative medical care, or 3. Attend the employee's routine medical appointment or a routine medical appointment for the employee's child, spouse, parent, or parent of spouse, or 4. Address the psychological, physical, or legal effects of domestic violence as defined in subsection G1/2 of section 1 of chapter 151A, except that the definition of employee in subsection A will govern for purposes of this section. D. 1. An employer shall provide a minimum of 1 hour of earned sick time for every 30 hours worked by an employee. Employees shall begin accruing earned sick time commencing with the date of hire of the employee or the date this law becomes effective, whichever is later, but employees shall not be entitled to use accrued earned sick time until the 90th calendar day following commencement of their employment. On and after this 90-day period, employees may use earned sick time as it accrues. 2. Nothing in this chapter shall be construed to discourage or prohibit an employer from allowing the accrual of earned sick time at a faster rate or the use of earned sick time at an earlier date than this section requires. 3. Employees who are exempt from overtime requirements under 29 U.S.C. Section 213A 1 of the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act shall be assumed to work 40 hours in each work week for purposes of earned sick time accrual unless their normal work week is less than 40 hours, in which case earned sick time shall accrue based on that normal work week. 4. All employees employed by an employer of 11 or more employees shall be entitled to earn and use up to 40 hours of earned paid sick time from that employer, as provided in subsection D in a calendar year. In determining the number of employees who are employed by an employer for compensation, all employees performing work for compensation on a full-time, part-time, or temporary basis shall be counted. 5. Notwithstanding Section 1-7 of Chapter 1-5-D, Sections 70-75 of Chapter 118-E, or any other special or general law to the contrary, the PCA Quality Home Care Workforce Council shall be deemed the employer of all personal care attendants, as defined in Section 70 of Chapter 118-E, for purposes of Subsection D-4 of this section. The Department of Medical Assistance shall be deemed the employer of said personal care attendants for all other purposes under this section, and the Department of Early Education and Care shall be deemed the employer of all family child care providers, as defined in Section 17A of Chapter 15D, for purposes of this section. 6. All employees not entitled to earned paid sick time from an employer pursuant to subsection D-4 through 5 shall be entitled to earn and use up to 40 hours of earned unpaid sick time from that employer, as provided in subsection D in a calendar year. 7. Earned sick time shall be used, in the smaller of hourly increments or the smallest increment that the employer's payroll system uses to account for absences or use of other time. Employees may carry over up to 40 hours of unused earned sick time to the next calendar year, but are not entitled to use more than 40 hours in one calendar year. Employers shall not be required to pay out unused earned sick time upon the separation of the employee from the employer. E. If an employee is absent from work for any reason listed in subsection C, and by mutual consent of the employer and the employee works an equivalent number of additional hours or shifts during the same or the next pay period as the hours or shifts not worked due to reasons listed in subsection C, an employee shall not be required to use accrued earned sick time for the employee's absence during that time period, and the employer shall not be required to pay for the time the employee was so absent. An employer shall not require such employee to work additional hours to make up for the hours during which the employee was so absent, or require that the employee search for or find a replacement employee to cover the hours during which the employee is utilizing earned sick time. F. Subject to the provisions of subsection N, an employer may require certification when an earned sick time period covers more than 24 consecutively scheduled work hours. Any reasonable documentation signed by a healthcare provider indicating the need for earned sick time taken shall be deemed acceptable certification for absences under subsection C 1, 2, and 3. Documentation deemed acceptable under subsection G1/2 of Section 1 of Chapter 151A shall be deemed acceptable documentation for absences under subsection C4. An employer may not require that the documentation explain the nature of the illness or the details of the domestic violence. The employer shall not delay the taking of earned sick time or delay pay for the period in which earned sick time was taken for employees entitled to pay under subsection D on the basis that the employer has not yet received the certification. Nothing in this section shall be construed to require an employee to provide as certification any information from a healthcare provider that would be in violation of Section 1177 of the Social Security Act, 42 U.S.C. 1320D-6, or the regulations promulgated under Section 264C of the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, 42 U.S.C. 1320D-2, note. G. When the use of earned sick time is foreseeable, the employee shall make a good faith effort to provide notice of this need to the employer in advance of the use of the earned sick time. H. It shall be unlawful for any employer to interfere with, restrain, or deny the exercise of, or the attempt to exercise, any right provided under or in connection with this section, including, but not limited to, by using the taking of earned sick time under this section as a negative factor in any employment action, such as evaluation, promotion, disciplinary action or termination, or otherwise subjecting an employee to discipline for the use of earned sick time under this section. I. It shall be unlawful for any employer to take any adverse action against an employee because the employee opposes practices which the employee believes to be in violation of this section, or because the employee supports the exercise of rights of another employee under this section. Exercising rights under this section shall include but not be limited to filing an action or instituting or causing to be instituted any proceeding under or related to this section, providing or intending to provide any information in connection with any inquiry or proceeding relating to any right provided under this section, or testifying or intending to testify in any inquiry or proceeding relating to any right provided under this section. J. Nothing in this section shall be construed to discourage employers from adopting or retaining earned sick time policies more generous than policies that comply with the requirements of this section, and nothing in this section shall be construed to diminish or impair the obligation of an employer to comply with any contract, collective bargaining agreement, or any employment benefit program or plan in effect on the effective date of this section that provides to employees greater earned sick time rights than the rights established under this section. K. Employers required to provide earned paid sick time, who provide their employees paid time off under a paid time off, vacation or other paid leave policy, who make available an amount of paid time off sufficient to meet the accrual requirements of this section that may be used for the same purposes and under the same conditions as earned paid sick time under this section, are not required by the section to provide additional earned paid sick time. L. The Attorney General shall enforce this section and may obtain injunctive or declaratory relief for this purpose. Violation of this section shall be subject to paragraphs 1, 2, 4, 6, and 7 of subsection B of section 27C and to section 150. M. The Attorney General shall prescribe by regulation the employer's obligation to make, keep, and preserve records pertaining to this section consistent with the requirements of Section 15 of Chapter 151. N. The Attorney General may adopt rules and regulations necessary to carry out the purpose and provisions of this section, including the manner in which an employee who does not have a health care provider shall provide certification, and the manner in which employer's size shall be determined for purposes of subsection D4. O. Notice of this section shall be prepared by the Attorney General in English and in other languages required under Clause III of subsection D of section 62A of Chapter 151A. Employers shall post this notice in a conspicuous location, accessible to employees in every establishment where employees with rights under this section work, and shall provide a copy to their employees. This notice shall include the following information. 1. Information describing the rights to earned sick time under this section. 2. Information about notices, documentation, and any other requirements placed on employees in order to exercise their rights to earned sick time. 3. Information that describes the protections that an employee has in exercising rights under this section. 4. The name, address, phone number, and website of the Attorney General's office where questions about the rights and responsibilities under this section can be answered. And 5. Information about filing an action under this section. Section 148D. The Executive Office of Health and Human Services, in consultation with the Attorney General, shall develop and implement a multilingual outreach program to inform employees, parents, and persons who are under the care of a health care provider about the availability of earned sick time under this section. This program shall include the distribution of notices and other written materials in English and in other languages to all child care and elder care providers, domestic violence shelters, schools, hospitals, community health centers, and other health care providers. Section 2. Section 150 of Chapter 149 is hereby amended by inserting after the word 148B the following word, 148C. Section 3. If any provision of this act or application thereof to any person or circumstance is judged invalid, the invalidity shall not affect other provisions or applications of the act which can be given effect without the invalid provision or application, and to this end the provisions of this act are declared severable. Section 4. This act shall take effect on July 1, 2015.